grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 314 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here, coming at you live from Austin, Texas. Yeah, live once again from Austin. Well, because, you know, Rona, that's the way the world works, everybody. So Chris is still on hiatus from the road. The world is still on hiatus for many things, but the one thing that is not on hiatus is Dudes and Beer, everybody. Make sure to stop on by the website. We have all kinds of fun stuff for you there. Dudesandbeer.com is where you want to go. That is the website. Make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com/app to download your groovy Dudes and Beer app right now for Android. Don't worry, Orchard sufferers out there, we will get an Xcode copy out soon for all you guys that are so desperate to have Dudes and Beer partying in your pocket all the time. Stop on by. We have great stuff there. We will soon have a swag shop up where you can buy t-shirts, shot glasses, pints, all kinds of stuff. We also, of course, have the fantastic Dudes and Beer store where you can go and buy all the books from guests, things like that. Our guest tonight, I cannot wait to get involved with them. It's going to be so fantastic. The Male Breast Cancer Coalition, folks, is who our guest is tonight. And we are going to be getting deep. Trigger warning. On occasion, we give trigger warnings on Dudes and Beer whenever we think that, like, you know, the content may be something that riles up folks and their families, something like that. But this is a field trigger warning tonight, guys. This may be one that kind of tugs some heartstrings. It's definitely one that you might want to bring the family in to listen to, especially if you have a stubborn father, stubborn uncle, stubborn brother or son. Bring the family into the room. Find a way from Brett and Ron tonight. Brett Miller, founder of Male Breast Cancer Coalition in Kansas City, as well as Ronald Rappaport, host of It's a Wrap with Ron on Podbean, who is a breast cancer survivor as well as member of the Male Breast Cancer Coalition. We will be talking to them tonight about the scourge that is male breast cancer, why it is that you do not hear so much about it, why it is that your host himself just scheduled an ultrasound. We will be getting into that and so much more right after all this good stuff. Yeah, that's right, folks. It's time for the Dudes and Beer News of the Week. Let's stop on by the Dudes and Beer page real quick, or group on Facebook. Stop on by, open group. We, of course, had a major mass shooting yesterday. Here is what we know about the Boulder mass shooter, coming to you from CNN.com. Quite a few articles about that. The Sesame Workshop just brought two new puppets to the show. For the first time, black son and father. So it's going to be fantastic to see how those relationships grow. The relationship of father and son. There's never really been a father and son puppet team workshop history, Sesame Workshop history. So I'm excited about that as a father of a young kid that watches Sesame Street, and somebody who's watched Sesame Street my whole life. It is official. Bill Gates is ready to spray tons of chalk in the stratosphere, folks. We'll see what happens with that. For all you, as I said in my post, for all of you folks out there that have been weather modification deniers for years. Okay, I guess we can't do it. Bill Gates just spends millions on nothing. He just vapidly wastes millions, you know. If you haven't seen the Washington Post expose about the gentleman who started up the Instagram about preachers and their $5,000 sneakers, go check it out. And of course, to wrap it up from Yahoo News, upcoming UFO report. That is, of course, whenever the Trump administration passed their last round of COVID relief, attached to that was the fact that, hey, Department of Defense, if you have more reports out there more FOIA requests that have not been let out. We need a full accounting of everything regarding unidentified flying objects as well as unmanned area or unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs. So interesting. We'll see what comes about of that. We're getting ready to have Mike Turber on to come on and talk about all that. We have been furiously texting back and forth the last couple days because the realm of soft disclosure coming out is wild, folks. Wild, wild stuff. So when we come back from this message from our sponsor, Podcast Cadet, we will be talking with Brett Miller, founder of the Kansas City branch of Male Breast Cancer Coalition, as well as Ron Rappaport, right after this.
Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com.
The hardest part was telling everybody, but to let people know that it can happen, that's my main reason for speaking out. It's embarrassing being a male being told you have breast cancer because I felt like there's nothing manly about it.
My name is Brett Miller. I'm 26 and I've been a breast cancer survivor for just about 2 years.
The death rate in males is 3-4 times that of females. We ignore a lot of signs that could give it away. And so by the time that we do go to the doctors, it's too late. I mean, the cancer spread to other organs, and the doctor has to give you the horrible news that there's nothing we can do. I found out cancer of any sort is too hard to go through alone. You need the support system of family and friends.
We knew we had to rally Team Miller to get behind Brett, which no questions asked, because we all just love him dearly. He's one of those kids that keep the family together.
All of our survivors, I'd like you all to stand up for survivors. Every survivor here is having another birthday this year.
I'm building awareness one boob at a time with the help of the National Consortium of Breast Centers. We did start a foundation, and we made videos for males and females how to correctly check yourself for your monthly breast self-exam. You can see them all on breastselfexams.org.
What Brett has done in 2 years' time to move on, I see the courage that's brought out in him. He has grown so much and amazes me the way he talks about it.
If you can battle through cancer and make it through it, you've got your battle scars to show them.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Brett Miller, founder of the Kansas City chapter of Male Breast Cancer Coalition, as well as Ronald Rappaport, both survivors, heroes. Welcome, gentlemen, to the show. How are y'all this evening?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Good. Thank you for having us.
I am so excited to have you guys on tonight. This is, as I told y'all in the pre-show, this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. It is something that my family has dealt with I lost my cousin, who was very much like a sister to me, very close in age, very, very close to breast cancer that could have been diagnosed had the doctor just listened. Had the doctor actually been able to do anything is what's horrible, because like they're locked into these age ranges where if you're not in this age range, we're not going to test you for stuff. And it's horrifying. And to know, we'll get into your story here in just a minute, Brett, to know how you came to find out and how long you suffered, after reading all of y'all's stuff and preparing for this episode. As I told y'all before the show, and I will tell my audience right now, your host went out and got himself scheduled for a breast ultrasound, because shortly before COVID started, I had a little bit of tenderness behind my left breast, which has eventually gotten itself to the point that it's almost like I was shot by a BB many years ago, and it just never really went away. And yeah, that could be who knows what of 100 things, but the one thing I don't want is for it to be like it was with my cousin, where when I find something out, it might be too late. Like you said in that beautiful, moving opening segment, Brett. So thank you both, gentlemen, for taking your time to come on tonight. Thank you so much for the heroes that you are, just for going through this with yourself and your families and continuing to go through it with other families. Brett, I guess let's start off with you. If you can, just in a nutshell, share your story of how you came to find out about your breast cancer and treatment, things like that.
Well, thank you for having me. Once again, Brett Miller from reside in Kansas City. I am a co-founder with Sherry Ambrose of the Male Breast Cancer Coalition. We started off in, you know, kind of based out of Kansas City, and Sherry's in New Jersey. And we've ended up kind of turning into more of a global organization, because we have men from all over the world sharing their story. But to get to there, it started when I was 17. I was in my senior year of high school. I was getting ready to play football, and I had to go get a physical. And shortly before the a few days before the physical, I was just watching TV and kind of did a lean back and scratch, and I felt this lump right below my right nipple. I brought it up to the doctor when I went to go get the physical. And, you know, he just kind of looked at it, and he was like, you're young, you're 17, you know, you're going through puberty. It's probably just a calcium buildup. It'll dissipate and go away. You know, there's nothing to worry about. So went throughout senior year, had to go get my shots for college, at the end of the year, and brought it up to, it was a different doctor this time, and brought it up to him and almost said the exact same thing. Calcium buildup, puberty, don't worry about it. It'll dissipate and go away. So, yeah, I just think, you know, okay, well, you know, it's nothing I need to worry about. You know, it'll go away. These doctors, you know, doctors, they know all.
Sure.
A lot do, a lot don't. You know, it's medicine. They're practicing it every day. It changes every second of the day. So I don't fault any of the doctors on it. Fast forward 7 years later, I was 24 and I was officially diagnosed. Only because my parents pushed me to go to the doctor to get a physical, because it had been almost pretty much 7 years, you know, since senior year of high school.
Sure.
Since I had my previous one.
Now, at this point, had you been experiencing any symptoms, any extreme lethargy, illness, anything like that? Prompt you to go like, hey, man, something's really, really wrong.
Well, I mean, knowing the symptoms now, yes. Had I known what symptoms of breast cancer for men would have been, I probably would have gone a year and a half or two before then. A year and a half to 2 years before my actual diagnosis, if I were to squeeze the lump or bump into something, I would get a discharge, like a yellow orangish discharge, sometimes blood, you know, red, bloody. But I mean, all I thought was, hey, that's the calcium buildup dissipating.
Sure. You know? Or an infected pore, or,
yeah,
you know,
so I wasn't thinking much of it, but I mean, it wasn't just like a one-time thing. I could you know, every couple days, once a week or so.
Wow.
You know, if I did, it would. So I'm just like, you know, this isn't, I'm not thinking much, but you know, after I was diagnosed and I read the symptoms, it's lump, it's discharge from a nipple, it's redness, it's an inverted nipple. There's, you know, multiple different things. Like everything I read, I was like, wow, I wish I would have been, you know, been more aware of this before, like what the possibilities were. But there's not a whole lot of information out. I mean, we're doing everything we can with the coalition to change that. But at the time, this is 2010 is when I'm getting diagnosed. There's very little information out there for men. I mean, my mom will always say when she went out there after I was diagnosed to search, all she could find was like maybe a blue ribbon here with a male symbol on it, or this Marine that's standing there saluting with the shirt off, but with this just like hole, a cave in his chest. From where it was.
Brother, I cannot tell you how many cancer marches, cancer walks, cancer events that I have, like Susan G. Komen events that I have been paid to work. Mm-hmm. Never once has the topic of male breast cancer come up. Ever once. And this is from somebody who, like, almost every single female member of my family has either had a scare or had. So, like, it blows my mind. And after I started talking with Ron and we started going back and forth, like I said, I do my proper Google stalking on my guests. You know, like, if you got a book, I'm buying the book and I'm reading at least half of it before I have you on the show. You know, like, I try and do it. And man, when I started seeing some of the numbers about male breast cancer, and especially the survivability rates versus the actual number of people that get it, it was like, wow, that is staggering. And there is zero outcry about this.
Well, yeah. And when I was diagnosed, my mom knew the local chapter presidents of Susan G. and Young Survivors Coalition. So she called them to ask them, and we were pretty much told, oh, sorry, we just deal with women. That's it. We can't do anything for you. You know,
like, as though I just popped up on screen. Men have breasts too. As though you did not have breasts. Yep. It's not like, hey, this is a female breast cancer group. Like, breast cancer knows no sex, people. It's pretty indiscriminate.
It's not a female's disease. It's not a male's disease. It's a people's disease. It does not matter. And that's the stigma that we need to change. And it really starts with all the pharmaceutical companies. It starts with the awareness campaigns. It's, you know, everything right now, all it says is women, women, women. So men don't think anything about it. You know, what kind of awareness could you have if you had an ad or something during a football game, and in the commercial of the football game, men about breast cancer and stuff, like, holy crap, it would, you know, it would draw a little bit of attention. But it's until we can make this, if you are a person diagnosed with breast cancer, metastatic breast cancer, so on, whatever, then that's when it's going to make a change.
Yeah.
But until then, when it's all women, 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 well, men are just going to keep pushing it off because they're like, oh, breast cancer? I don't have breasts. I can't get it.
Well, and it's interesting because even, and this is not, believe me, people, and for both of you guys, this is not a lambasting of Susan G. Komen Foundation, folks. That's not what I'm about to do. But what I'm about to say may be revelatory for some people and may actually blow your mind, that none of that money goes toward cancer treatment. It all goes toward awareness. And once again, why are the men not being highlighted in that? Why is that not a topic of conversation? Why is it like it just blows my mind when you're trying to raise, and even the fact that, yes, you can raise awareness, but are we raising awareness toward testing, self-testing, you know? Because I don't even know that most women that I know how to properly self-test.
It's quite a few that say that they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. And I mean, on honest question, before your finding out, Brett, did your mother know how to self-test?
I believe so. I think that she may say yes, but
sure. And Ron, what about your wife?
We always talked about it, and she self-tests, but she didn't self-test monthly like she should have.
Sure.
And, but she's been fortunate, and she's had mammograms, and they've all been negative. So,
and that is a beautiful, fantastic thing. And like I said, like even the preparation of this, I already had a doctor's. I'll embarrassingly give my secret. Some listeners know I'm a gout sufferer. I have a 17th century ailment because of all of my Hassenpfeffer and mulled wine and my rich, opulent lifestyle. But that is what actively caused me to call the doctor last week and schedule my appointment for this week. And through doing my research and watching y'all's videos about self-treatment, things like that, like I was like, I'm doing it. There is no question when I am in front of a doctor, because for the last year, I haven't been able to like physically get in front of a doctor. It's hard right now, you know, unless you got something major, you aren't going to see your general practitioner because your toe's acting up, you know. It just doesn't look straight, doc. I don't know what's going on. You're probably not going to get in the office. So, yeah, it for me, it was a very open situation. And it was like, I will absolutely do this because it's important.
Absolutely.
Now, Ron, if you can for just a minute, share your story of discovery and how you came to be involved with the Male Breast Cancer Coalition.
Sure. In 2018, I'm retired, so traveling a lot, and we went on a tour of to Spain and Portugal. And I remember going swimming in Spain. I took off my shirt, and I noticed that my nipple very, very slightly had retracted, and I didn't think anything of it. And that previous to that, I had the flu that year, and I actually got dehydrated and passed out and did a 180 right on the floor. I actually had to get ambulance to the hospital. I was completely dehydrated from the flu. I had influenza B.
Oh, wow.
And broke a couple ribs, and that whole area was still tender from that. And plus I had accidentally hit my chest area, with a car door or bumped into a wall or whatever. I just remember doing that. So I'm thinking, okay, fine. The thing is healing and, everything will be all right. Anyway, fast forward around Christmas time, 2018, I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, this thing isn't getting any better. It's actually retracting more. So like anybody else out there, I hit Google and put in, retracting nipple, and it comes up, male breast cancer. And I'm going, but then I'm reading about it and I'm going, the odds are like 1 in 1,000. So anyway, right around Christmas time, I showed it to my wife, and she said the first thing out of her mouth was, we're going to get a mammogram. So,
good for her.
My GP was out of town. I had to go to a friend of mine who runs one of those doc in the box places. He's very good though. And he wrote me a script for a mammogram. He said, you can go here or here. And my wife said, no, you're going down to the big, the big breast center here in town. And they have a radiologist on staff, because she had been there previous, and they'll let you know right away. So I think it was early January. And when I went to the doc in the box, I took my shirt off and I said, look at this. And he said to me, what am I looking at? And I showed him, and he goes, I don't think it's anything, but fine. We'll get a mammogram. So I go into the imaging center, the women's imaging center. And that was my first, exposure to being what we call a blue dot in a sea of pink. There's all women.
They give me like Austin.
Yeah, they give me a white armband. They tell me to go up the elevator and to the second floor, and so I go up there and I check in, and I'm waiting around. Of course, I'm the only man, and she calls my name, and I go up there, and I didn't even mention the forms I had to fill out about my pregnancies, my menstrual cycle, you know, the pink robe, the whole, you know, everything's pink. So, anyway, she calls my name, and I go up there, and she says to me, "No, I need your wife." And I said, no, I showed her my armband. "Oh, okay. We'll have to get a room for you. Have a seat." So anyway, they get me in a room to do the mammogram. And the first thing out of the nurse's mouth is she says to me, "Hey, are you Ashkenazi Jewish by chance?" I said, "Yeah, I am." "Why do you ask that?" She says, "Oh, you know, you have a higher chance of having breast cancer."
Oh, wow.
I said, "Oh, that's good to know." You know, so anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, and we can go into that a little later. So anyway, they do the mammogram, quite an experience. And so they do the mammogram. They say, "Well, the right breast is good. Your left breast, this is where the retracting nipple was, we're not so sure about. We're going to take you in the next room. We're going to do a sonogram." Well, then I was getting kind of worried. So they do the sonogram. My wife came in there. She's a pretty strong woman, but she's starting to crack up. And I said, "Ah, it'd be all right." So they do the sonogram. And they said, "Okay, the radiologist will be in a couple minutes, and they'll let you know what's going on." Well, the nurse comes back, no doctor. And she says, "You know, we don't really know. We're not sure. We think it might be scar tissue, you know, from a fall or something like that. We need to do a biopsy." So they schedule a biopsy 2 days later. I do the biopsy, and early in the morning, I'm still sleeping. My GP calls. He says, "Hey, Ron, I got the preliminary report. I didn't want you waiting around because they wanted to keep me waiting like four or 5 days for the report." He says, "I'm sorry to say it's cancer." Well, it was like getting hit with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And, you know, over your head, you just walk, you know, I'm walking around in a daze. And how I got involved with the male breast cancer was I was Googling. I came across the Male Breast Cancer Coalition, and I really had, you know, no other men to talk to this about. Although one of my friends where I go swimming and working out, he said, "Hey, I haven't seen you for a few weeks." And I told him, I started telling him, I said, "Hey," I took him in private, you know, and I pointed to my chest. And before I could get the words out, he said, "You got male breast cancer." And I said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" He says, "I have a friend of mine who has it." And he gave me his name up in upstate New York. And I called the guy. He says, "Call this guy." And it was really good because I could actually talk to somebody who had this.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody out there. I mean, who do
I mean, number one, if you're a cancer sufferer to begin with, you're in a minority, much less if you're a male cancer, so male breast cancer sufferer. Yeah. Because breast cancer is already you're literally within like a one percentile, two percentile range.
Yeah. We are. We're 1% of all the breast cancer.
And the beautiful thing, the good thing about that is that you're also amongst 1% of the survivors.
Yeah. Right.
That means that your survival is also more rarefied. And that's what I think is beautiful about you guys and what y'all are doing together. The community that you guys have built over at the Male Breast Cancer Coalition, Brett, is fantastic. The things that y'all are doing with survivors, the things that y'all are doing with families and communities are so awesome.
But I just wanted to say, you asked me how, you know, I got involved.
Oh, yeah. How did you get
involved? I called Peggy. I filled out an email form from the Male Breast Cancer Coalition, your name, your email address, and your phone number. And about 30 minutes later, I get a call from Peggy Miller, Brett's mother. And she said to me, welcome to the family you thought you never had. And we love you. And we're here for you. And that, you know, just hearing those words, and she was talking to me about Brett's, you know, diagnosis and all that. And how I actually got involved advocating, that's another little story. I had some dental work I had to have done before my mastectomy. And they needed, I told them to kind of rush it. You know, I needed a crown put in. So I said, Can you get it the day before my surgery? They don't want me. I'm having cancer surgery. And that's all I said. And so I walked into the dentist's office. They called me and they said, we've got your crown. We'll put it in for you. We know you got cancer surgery tomorrow. And I walked into the dentist's office and walked into by the chair where you sit down. And the technician said to me, I understand you're having cancer surgery tomorrow. And I said, yes. What kind of cancer surgery? And I said, breast cancer. Well, Chris, she started laughing uncontrollably.
Yeah.
She thought I was joking.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and that's exactly what I said in my email to you back and forth is this is typically a quote public snickering situation.
Yeah.
Whenever you mention the concept of male breast cancer, people are like, yeah, okay, dude.
Yeah. So she looks at me and she goes, oh, you're joking. That's a good joke. I said, no, I'm not joking. And well, you should have seen her face. So anyway, that's when my what I like to say, my embarrassment turned to empowerment. My pain turned to purpose. And a light just went off in my head, Chris. And I said, you know what? Men shouldn't have to go through this kind of thing. If I get out, I didn't know at that, you know, what the stage was or what I was going to have done, chemo, radiation. I said, if I get out of this, you know, fairly in one piece, I'm going to advocate for the Male Breast Cancer Coalition. And that's how I got. How I got involved.
And that's just it. Like to have somebody, and granted, not like, I don't think like a purposeful point and laugh kind of situation, but really more like a knee jerk. You know, like, really? Kind of situation. But at the same time, like, if somebody looked at you and said, yeah, it's chemo, you know, I got leukemia, would you snicker?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, it's funny you say that because we were at ASCO back in 2017 and we, you know, we had a booth right as you entered. We won one of their drawings for different foundations and organizations.
Yeah.
So we had a free booth there, and we were at the front entrance, and we had doctors, nurses, and just, you know, people from all over the world coming in. And I believe he's from like, he was a small country in Europe, and he just comes up, and I'm standing there, Michael Singer standing there, my mom Sherry and Pat Washburn. And we have the videos playing and we're out there front and talking and stuff. And he kind of walks by and he kind of chuckles and we're like, sir, can we help you? And he goes, "Ben, don't get breast cancer." And I mean, this is, and if you look at his name tag, it says doctor on it. And you're just kind of like,
yeah,
what? You're a doctor and you're chuckling and saying that men don't get breast cancer. Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah. Like, you are an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pardon the language. That's just really messed up. And it's a messed up mentality to have. And even the fact that, and to hop back in the Wayback Machine to a few minutes ago, Brett, 7 years between when a patient goes, hey, doc, what's going on with this? And granted, like the doctor said, like you said, you were 17. Like, good Lord, my cousin was 28 years old. You know, how often are you going to find stage 4 breast cancer, hyperaggressive breast cancer in a 28-year-old woman? Probably about as often as you might find male breast cancer. However, when a patient says, hey, doc, can we check this out? You know, maybe go through it.
Yeah. So my doctor, when I brought it up to him, when I was in the physical, it was literally at the very end, and he was at the door, like getting ready to walk out. And I was like, "Hey, doc, before you go, real quick, I've had this lump for, you know, about 7 years, and, you know, right below my right nipple." And he kind of like stopped, turned right around immediately, closed the door, and he came right over and looked at it. So he was willing to look at it at that point.
Yeah,
sent me off to go get the ultrasound. Sonogram, not knowing that I was going to the women's clinic. You know, I walked in, I got greeted by name. They knew it was me, not, you know, unlike Ron, that, you know, thinking it was his wife, but they greeted me by name. And I was like, bet that it doesn't happen very often here, if not ever.
Yeah.
You know, and I got the scan, you know, they were doing the scan, and the doctor comes in to check, you know, make sure that the request is there. And she does like a triple take on me and the monitor, and immediately goes, you know, it's just right down the hall. Let's go down. Let's do a mammogram. You know, just so, you know, we don't have to waste any more of your time. You don't have to come back in, take more time off work, and yeah, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Let's just cross it off the list, because we know what it's not going to be, right?
Well, yeah, but
in theory, that's what she was hoping to say. You know,
I have a good feeling that she knew what was going on, but not at any point in this time have I been told that it could possibly be breast cancer by any doctor that I've seen.
Wow.
You know, I get set up with a general surgeon. He was like, "Yeah, based on the time you've had and what these scans look like, you know, we're just going to take it out." He goes, "I'll put it in through insurance. They're more than likely going to deny it the first time because it's going to come across saying surgery, chest, male. They're going to be like, absolutely not. We're not paying for it." He goes, "I'll call, write the letter, you know, do whatever." So he exactly right on cue everything he said. So about two and a half weeks after my first visit with him, I'm in there getting the lump removed, and I get the call. I it was an hour and a half surgery, maybe, if that. I was back at work the next day.
Wow.
I was leaving the country club to go work downtown, and that's when I got the call from the surgeon saying that it was a very short and blunt call. It was so the preliminary pathology reports are back. It is breast cancer. I haven't fully read the reports, but it'll read them and get back to you in 3 to 5 days. That was it. There was no, "Do you have any questions?" or anything like that, you know, or like, "Hey, you know, let's just set this date, you come in and we discuss it and everything."
Wow.
I tried holding off telling my parents. I told my dad. I asked him not to tell my mom until I got home from work because I was going to be busy and I didn't have time for her million questions.
Well, and I mean, quite honestly, I love my mother as well. But if that situation happened and she got that phone call, it would be nothing but panic until the moment that we were together and actually talked about things, you know? Like,
well,
so good on you to be like, "Yeah, let's hold off on that for a minute."
Well, then not good on my dad, because 5 minutes goes by and my mom's calling me. He said their home office, their desks are 10 feet apart.
Yeah, she could probably hear him.
He said, well, not even that. He said he turned around and she looked at him. She goes, "That was Brett, right?" She goes, "It's cancer, right?" And he was like, "Wow." I say words. Like, she knew.
Mama's no.
Well, and it was a good thing that it did happen, because we were actually meeting that doctor the next day. Wow. She raised hell with that doctor. And, you know, we go and meet with this doctor, and he's just like, you know, "Yeah, so we're doing a double mastectomy. There's no way around it. This is what it is." And I was just like, "Okay, well, how many of this surgery would be done on people?" And he goes, "Oh, I've done it on, you know, quite a few women and stuff." I go, "Well, how many men?" And he goes, "You would be the first male." And I was just like, I was like, "I don't like the way," you know, his bedside manner was absolutely horrible. You know, because I signed all HIPAA papers and everything for him.
Well, I mean, he's making a mastectomy seem like he's going in and treating your ACL, dude.
And I signed all HIPAA forms so he could discuss it with my parents. And he refused to do any of that. And his response was, "Well, he's a 24-year-old male. He's an adult. He can deal with this." And it's just like, I was just diagnosed with breast cancer, man. Like, a lot of things going through my head right now, let alone having to try to ask all these questions and deal with you. Like, you need somebody that has either gone through this or somebody that hasn't, but somebody that can sit there and take the notes and ask the questions and write the answers down, because it comes at you like a freight train.
That's right. And not only that, but the pre-surgery, post-surgery questions, things like that, where like you are literally, you're still under medication and they're coming in giving you instructions.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So yeah.
You know, I was like, you know, thank you for your time, but I feel to go get a second opinion. We met with another doctor, and he ended up being, I got lucky. I will tell everybody, I got extremely lucky with my diagnosis, how small, you know, it was, and the barely stage one diagnosis, because it could have been everywhere. And I got extremely lucky, especially with this new surgeon that I got hooked up with. My case got kind of beelined to a lot of the top doctors in the area. Asked me if I was fine with them sharing my case to just discuss it. I go, yeah, I'm fine. I was like, just, you know, whatever's going to help. And it was in meeting this new surgeon and discussing with him and him telling me that, you know, he's performed the surgery on a dozen men before me. And that if I had any questions, he thinks that he could reach out to one of them and ask them if they would be willing to speak with me. He was like, but I'm going to fair warn you. It's like most of them took time off work, did a surgery, recovered, and went back to work like nothing ever happened. So there's a pretty good chance that none of them will want to talk about it. He goes, but in meeting with you and talking with you and you, you know, the way you're acting right now, he goes, if you're willing to share your story, I think you could become a face of male breast cancer. And you can put a face to this disease and help stop it or just bring more awareness to it so that men aren't afraid when they hear the words, you have breast cancer. And I mean, it's just went off from there.
Amen. Amen. And good for both of you guys, and good for you, Brett, because exactly what that doctor said, you cannot be afraid. And even today, whenever I told my wife, because I like I said, I was going to the doctor today for gout. And I told my wife last night, before we left, that, hey, just so you know, whenever I go to the doctor tomorrow, I'm going to be talking to them about a BB size lump in my left breast. I was like, I don't want you to be panicked. I don't want you to be scared. I just want you to be informed. I want you to know that this is something that is going on with me. And whenever I got out, she was like, are you afraid? Are you scared? I was like, no, I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm scared, mainly because, like, hey, if God decides to do something, who am I to say no? But am I afraid of the unknown? Yes. The difference is now I have gone to the doctor and we will have a known.
Yeah.
You know, like we'll have a course of treatment. We'll have a plan. If it was something that I went into the doctor one day and they came in and said, hey, Chris, I know we drew some blood to test you for gout, buddy, but man, like you're at stage 3 right now. That's scary because that's the unknown. Me taking this bull by the horns and owning it and saying, hey, you, come here. Let's go handle this. That's a different story.
Yeah, you know? it's attacking it now rather than being like, oh, well, it's really small. It's nothing now. Yeah. You know, it shouldn't be anything because even though it's small, it could still be those later stages.
That's
how scary it is. And that's what Ron and I are doing. That's what we're speaking out. We're just trying to bring the awareness, being like, you know, it is 1%. That's what they say. I think the numbers are totally off. I think it's definitely a little more than that. I'm not saying like huge numbers, but 2 or 3% maybe. Yeah. But it's rare, but it's still possible. I have no hereditary line. Like I didn't get it from my mom. I didn't get it from my grandma, so on, so on, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you're not like me where every woman either had it or had a scare.
Yeah, I don't have the gene mutation. Yeah. So I'm a rare case, especially with my age, because the average age has always been around that 60, 65. I think it needs to be lower itself as well, because we've got plenty of men that are well under that age that are diagnosed. And it's just knowing that it's possible.
Well, and really, you know, even to go further into the male health issue, it's the fact of, you hear things all the time, like I'm 45 myself. Brett, how old are you?
35 now.
Okay, so yeah, 10 years younger. Ron, you seem like you maybe got about 3-4 years on me at least.
There you go.
So
can I just say something, Chris?
Go ahead, Ron.
I just want to tell the guys out there listening to this that I didn't have any pain whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was working out every day. I was playing tennis.
Healthy guy.
Swimming, walking 4 or 5 miles. I was doing fine. And you can be doing fine and still have, you know, stuff going on in your chest area. That's you right. need to get it checked out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. Like it can be scary. And this is a real moment here, guys, because much like whenever we had Madeline Zech Ruiz on, whose husband, I mean, to be straight, it was, how can I marry a doctor? Like he's a penis doctor. That's what he does. You know, and she was like, she lives down in Brownsville. Or McAllen, rather, very small border town, Texas, where, like, you know, people, you know, when you're walking through the HEB grocery store, like, you see Susie from down the street who's a patient of your husband, you know, that kind of stuff. And she was like, people started coming up and telling me the most intimate things about their bodies and what was going on. Like, do you think your husband can help? And he's like, I don't know. He's the doctor. Call him. She was like, but they came to me as a point of trust because I was the doctor's wife, you know, and she was like, I don't know why these people that were patients of my husband, who was their urologist, were more comfortable talking to me than to the doctor. And that's something that, like, we as women, everybody need to get used to doing that to begin with. We need to be used to being able to talk to our husband or spouse or mom or dad about it and being open and honest about it, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it is so important, especially once you reach that age of 25 beyond. Things start going different in your body. But, man, what are you guys doing right now as far as, because of course COVID has impacted all kinds of things. I mean, community events are starting back up, things like that. But what are y'all normally doing as far as community action, community activity?
Typically, outside of COVID, we're gearing up to do our conference in April. Now, you know, with, you know, COVID, we had to push it last year to August and do it virtually. And we're having to do the same thing this year. We're going to push it to August and do it virtually just because much of our community is, you know, or would be susceptible to it. So getting sure. those groups is just not worth it right now. But, nope. You know, vaccines seem to be rolling out. So we should be back to doing our in-person conferences in 2022 and just kind of keep moving on. But anything we can do to speak out, do podcast, I mean, everything's turned into a Zoom meeting or podcast or anything recently. And Ron's done a great job of setting those up. So,
yeah, let me just add to that. We have a brother to brother program. And we also where we try to match up newly diagnosed guys with guys who had a similar situation.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We also have a virtual, what we call a virtual meetup meeting once a month for all the brothers in the United States. And next month, we're going to try something new. We're going to have a virtual meetup worldwide. We're going global. We got everybody in the world that, you know, who wants to get on that's got male breast cancer. So we're looking for that quite a bit, and hopefully we can get out there and do our advocating. We go to health fairs and things like that, which is really, really nice. I really enjoy doing that. And when I, you know, I hand out a lecture, and Brett does the same thing. And when you say, hey, I'd like to talk to you, I'm a male breast cancer survivor, usually people take the literature and they listen to you. They go, you're a survivor? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's rewarding. I try to get out, as does Brett, and we try to reach that audience that's never heard of it, or, you know, maybe has heard of it but never thought about it.
Yeah.
And we try to reach those guys.
Well, and I mean, even right here on screen, as I saw, the confusion people get into right there, like in pink for all the breast cancer stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the association are giving a mixed headline, like, yeah, talking all about male breast cancer and really, like, what? So to know that you go on local news, being able to march in parades and, you know, have many of the guys, and even the car here that you sent me pictures of, Ron.
Yeah, let me talk about that for a minute. A woman named Pat. Her name is Pat Washburn. I know she's going to be listening to this from Omaha. Her husband, Marlin, was an educator for like 40 years. He was a golfer. He was living his life. But his one day, his shirt, they finally decided to go to the doctor's office. And I think he had diabetes as well. Anyway, they did the blood tests and stuff, and I guess his alkaline phosphatase level very high.
Oh, wow.
And they did more tests on him. And you know, you don't have to be in a lot of pain, you know, before this happens. It winds up he has breast cancer. It had spread all over his brain, his bones, other organs. You know, the sad part of it was he passed away 5 months.
Yeah.
Has taken it upon herself, her husband was an educator, to educate. So she got her car wrapped. I guess you were showing the pictures of her car. She travels around the United States. And I have an interesting story if we have a minute. Matt was going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina a couple of years ago, and I was talking to her on the phone. Well, you know, you're only about 5 hours from Jacksonville. Maybe we can get together and we can do a promo. She says, I'll tell you what, Ron, you can call around the local TV station. I got a call and they said, yeah, we'll have you on. So Pat drove down here. We did the live interview. Live. And then she had to get going. And then she was on her way back to Myrtle Beach. Anyway, the story continues. She's home from the interstate and, you know, the car is wrapped, you know, the car behind her and he's following her, but goes ahead of her. And then the police car slows up and goes behind her. And this goes on and on for several miles. And she knows that South Carolina is a state. I don't think you can be on the phone. And she says, hey, I don't know if I can close off the interstate. And all of a sudden the police starts. And she's going, oh, boy, what did I do? You know, so she pulls down the window and the cop comes out. And she says, officer, what did I do wrong? And he says, no, ma'am, you didn't do anything. He says, I would like some info because I'm having.
Yeah. Wow.
So she takes.
That's what it's about, man.
Yeah. Gives him the info. I think they traded information, you know,
that's great.
Emails or whatever. And, that's, you know, he had questions and I guess it, you know, it took this to get.
Well, that's just it. He saw a car with it and went, well, I guess maybe they won't think I'm crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And, Brett, let's for a second. When it comes to self-checking, because I know we only have this left with you guys, and I don't want to keep y'all past an hour. Like I said before the show, I want to feature you guys at least a couple times a year and have you on the show. Because what you guys are doing is absolutely so important. So important. Self-care, self-checking, that kind of stuff, especially as men, because it's something that we are just over probably the last decade. And check yourself, colon cancer, check yourself. Not about breast cancer. And to go back, let's talk a second real quick, Brett, about until you got it, you didn't know the signs. You didn't be looking for, even as a young man, because I knew people that reasons why these doctors maybe didn't worry up around, like we were saying before the show, at the age of 17 is something that exhibits itself right up around that age where the hormones are starting to be a little bit embarrassing. There may be some of you out there that have suffered it. I know people that have suffered it. Basically, the fact that as your hormones change, your breasts grow a little. The doctors were like, hey, this is kind of a normal thing right now, you know? And when you finally found out, what you have done, what signs could you have seen ahead of time now that you know them? What should people be looking for? What should that... but what can that... early? Because honestly, you know it and I know it. Back in your hands. How many college buddies that you know that were all about going to them?
Not many at all. None. I mean, that's the thing.
Like, I'd have dropped my beer.
It's being more open to just you. Yeah. Physical health. You know, it's okay, you know, to speak out and talk. In regards to, you know, breast cancer, a lump is a, you know, it could be, but if you, you know, there's changes to the skin, the dimpling, the puckerness, redness, the scale, or different, you know, discoloration of the nipple, and or in my case, a discharge. People think, oh well, the doctor said it was a calcium buildup; it's going to dissipate and go away. That's not what it was. So it's being aware of your body. You're your own. If you feel something different and something that seems to be not well, go to a doctor. And if that doctor tries to brush it off and tell you it's nothing, but you just have that inkling that it is something, you know, you're comfortable with the diagnosis, because like I said earlier, doctors find that right doctor that's going to help you out.
Hey, Chris, can I just add something? Chris?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to tell you about breastcancercoalition.org. That's malebreastcancercoalition.org. A little self-breast exam card for him and her. Tells you how to do a self-breast exam. So
yeah, and we were
go to the website.
We were playing that earlier, and it is so fantastic to go through that. Until I started doing my due diligence for this show. And it's just because it doesn't bother me that much, but it does. Serious. So I would rather, like I said, wrangle it by the horns and find out now, find out early if it's something, find out it's nothing, and have a sigh of relief and a nice l'chaim. To that's how I look at it. But to know that there are guys like you out there through this, that if it is something that a family member of mine is going through, man, I know where to send them now. You know, I know groups. But I do not know until this, did not know out there advocating this, putting it in front of people, putting it into the media, putting it into the spotlight. Good for you guys, man, and good for you, Brett, for getting this.
I always have to say that I couldn't do this without my co-founder Sherry Ambrose and my mom. That it would not be anywhere, you know, near what this is. It's only because of them that you connect with people like so.
Well, Brett,
I might also say, you know, we've only been around 6 years or so.
Oh, wow.
But we have made a lot of inroads, and we have made some people change their ways and put a little blue in the pink.
Yeah.
And it's an uphill battle, but you know, we're plugging away.
Well, and to know that you have made the headway that you have made, especially me, I being involved in ministry as long as I was, things like that. I knew a lot of people that started foundations, 501c3s, things like that. A 10-year foundation plan is typically what you're looking at for something like that, regardless. Gotten the attention that you have already. Kudos to you guys. It needs to be made like flares in the night. These signals need to, and for women, if you love your men, smack them in the back of the head, like make them go to the doctor.
Well, I mean, you could slap them in the back of the head, or you could grope them. You know, either way. You know.
If it's a team building exercise, to make it a part of your like relationship team building, to like cross. You know, like my wife and I have had that talk, because you know, let me know. And ready to talk about it. And the fact that you guys are so open and ready to talk about and share your stories, to share your experience of triumph and conquering at the young age that you were when you first suspected, and at the extremely young age that you were when you diagnosed and had things done, to make this, you never give it up.
Thank you. I think it's stuck with me for the rest of my life. So, but I'm happy to do it because I'm helping others.
Well, and it's just great that it has become your mom, but in the community as a whole. So, before we let you guys go, Ron, I guess I will give you the opportunity first, and then we will close out with Brett. It is time for utterly shameless self-promotion, as we put it here on the show. So, Ron, tell everybody where they can go to listen to It's a Wrap with Rap, everything else. And then we'll come back to Brett and talk about upcoming events, where people can go, where they can go to download self-exams.
Sure. Before I go into my thing, I just wanted to give a few takeaways. I just want the guys out there listening to this, sure, know your family, the male breast cancer, check your breasts monthly, and like breast cancer. I started a podcast. It's talking to people who have gone above and beyond to do all kinds of great things. I interview people who have overcome. So it's, and they come out on top. It's the type of inspirational type podcast, if you will. And I think we need that kind of feel good. I just want to thank you again, Chris, for having us on.
Well, like I said, this is a cause. There are a few causes that Dudes and Beer have, and these are the causes that you're joining, gentlemen. Human trafficking, about human organ. Those are our four big, huge, like crazy hot topics that we love, because they are important. They're uncomfortable conversations, but they are important conversations, yeah, in our world and to our families. And in response to what you said a minute ago, your family history, not just for male breast cancer reasons, folks, but if you happen to have a female child, to know that cancer family is invaluable. It is like a 70% starting point for any doctor. So, Brett, please do know where they can go to get involved with the Male Breast Cancer Coalition, what they can do to help out, what they can do to self-check, where they can go to get that kind of information, and what your next events are.
CancerCoalition.org. My parents divorced, mainly my dad leading the content. So you can donate where our next events are. Our conference will be August, and it'll be virtual again this year. The other events that we're doing will be there. If you're interested in us speaking at an event, either in person or mail, and you have questions, please reach out to us. If you're a male and you've been diagnosed, know that you hear the words, you have breast cancer. So, you know, as our shirts say, men have breasts too. My original slogan for the foundation was, guys, don't be afraid to touch yourself on the website. And if you have any questions, please reach out to us.
Absolutely, Brett. Thank you so much for coming on the Shining Guy. Totally uncomfortable topic for some people, but such an important one. Like I said, that's my room next to me right now. And that's all I think about. That's all I think about. I think about nothing less. So for me to not go have something looked at out of a point of caring about my family. So thank you guys so much. You hold the lines while we close things out. I'll talk with y'all off air. Thank y'all so much. One holding out while you are online, everybody, checking out all the fans, Webster Coalition, Brett Miller, and Ron Rappaport. That's where you can get the new app, dudesandbeer.com/app. Tons of books there. Crystal Skull to come for me from CrystalSkullExplorers.com. Thank you, everybody. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Remember, if you can't be good,
thanks
be good
for
at
listening to this bye-bye episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and it's available on Google Play and iTunes Market.
My device is coming soon.
For more episodes, content, and information, TV, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Press Play Podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time.